Isaiah 43, verse 25. The Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. You may be seated. I want to read it again as you're being seated. I, even I, this is the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah, if you overseas, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. Notice that. Why does God do that? Look at me. Do you like to remember bad things about your kids?
No.
God does not like to remember bad things about you.
Amen.
So, how many of you have children? Now, Betty, you have two kids, Justin, Tannis. Do you like to remember the bad things they've did? No. Ron, you have Ron Jr. Do you like to remember the bad things that he's done? No. Kathy, you have a daughter named Jody. I know we do. See, she never lets me go by myself. I ain't, can you? See, do you like to remember anything Jody's ever done bad? No. Tommy, how about your children? How about, no. Donna, you got children and grandkids. Do you like to remember anything bad that they do? No. It's truly amazing. That answers the question that God doesn't like to remember anything bad that you've done. He says, for his sake, and will not remember, I love that, and will not remember thy sins. Now, verse 26 is where I want to get to. Put me in remembrance, colon. Colon is a grammatical thing, a punctuation mark. Put me in remembrance. So the title of this sermon today is giving God something to remember. Did you realize that you determine what God remembers about you and not him? Let me say that again. Giving God something to remember. You fill up God's mind with what he thinks about you by what you do. Because he says, I blotted out for my own sake all your sin, and I remember your transgression, and remember your sin no more. So God has a very clear and open mind concerning you. So it dawned on me that I have the ability to give God something to remember about me. Because he can remember nothing of my past. When I accepted him as Lord and Savior. Then he says on, and he said, let us plead together. In other words, if you do mess up, talk to me about it and I'll blot it out. So it dawned on me, whatever God says about me is what I put in his mind. Is this good or what? Giving God something to remember. Now write this down. You can't believe anything without believing in words. You can't believe anything without believing in words. How do I know that? God said all things are held up by the power of his word. So when he said he can't remember nothing about me, then that's true. I have to believe that, and he used words for me to believe it. But now anything he does remember about me is because of me, not because of him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it dawned on me, what is God saying about me or saying about you? What is God remembering about me and remembering about you? Because remember, you dictate what he remembers, not him. He blotted everything you ever did away for his own sake so that you could fill his mind with good things. And since you don't like to remember anything bad about your kids, God don't like to remember anything bad about his kids. So what are you saying? I was meditating this morning. Write this down. Create a novel of your life for God to read to the inhabitants of heaven on earth. In other words, give God a book of your life, because this is His book about His life. So I can put a book in His hands about my life that He can, the only thing He can remember is what I put in that book. Do you see what I'm saying? So create a novel of your life for God to read to the inhabitants of heaven. What is God saying to Gabriel this morning about Jesse? Did I give him something good to remember yet this week? Or last week, or the week before, or a year ago. Is God saying, you ought to see my boy Jesse? Or did I put something in there that I don't want him to remember? You see what I'm saying? So I would tell all of you that are watching all over the world, create a novel. Write your own book. If you can write a book about someone else, like Harry Potter, why can't you write a book about yourself? What they call it, an autobiography or an autobiography. But yet, put everything in God's mind that He remembers. So when the devil comes to accuse you, the Lord says, I don't remember any such thing. Ooh, Lord Jesus. If the devil says, oh God, they robbed your money. I don't remember that at all. I looked at the accounts and it's up to date.
Amen.
That's why I'm blessing him in the city, in the field, going in and going out. So let me say it again. You can't believe anything without believing in words. Because God upholds all his word, all things with the power of his word. And if you create a novel of your life, God can read it to the inhabitants of heaven while you're still on the earth. Now notice what he said in verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Write this down. Put me in remembrance is a command from God and not a suggestion. I will determine what God remembers about me today of what I do. And he said, be an imitator of God as dear children. So if I do what he does, the only thing he can remember about me is his work. Are you seeing that? So this is not a suggestion, but a command. And God never forgets the good things. It's the good life. Remember that day when I preached that here? See, and then I realized that, oh, and I'm a shocker when it says, I control what God thinks of me. Write that down. Because he said, put me in remembrance. So if you do something godly today, you're controlling what he says about you in heaven and in earth. Boy, y'all listening this morning, Lord. Isn't that something? Because you see, you're only wanting to remember the good things. So I accept that command as an order from the high commander in chief, Jesus, instead of a suggestion that he would just happen to say something to fill up the paragraph or the verse with a sentence. You should write this down. You should never leave anything undone so that you may glorify God. You see, when I built this place, what did I do? I didn't just build it. I finished it.
Amen.
I finished it. Now watch this. King David did not have the ability to build God's house because of the blood on his hands. So David had that washed away when he asked God to forgive him. But you know what God remembers about David and God's temple? That he paid for it. He said, I may not have had the ability to build it, but I have the ability to pay for it. And he paid for it. So God says, I remember my servant David. He built my church. He couldn't remember all the wrong things he did, but he remembered the right things David did and recorded it in that book. And that book is a book of remembrance. The communion table, you read it. Inscribed, do this in remembrance of me.
Right.
That is an amazing thing that we as believers can determine what God thinks and remembers about us. He said, put me in remembrance. So I give him something good to remember. Are you seeing that? Because see, that's not just a suggestion, but a command. Write this down. You can only give God something to remember about what you do instead of what you say. Let me say it again. You can only give God something to remember about what you do instead of what you say. See, God remembers about what you did. He says, Adam, where art thou? Adam gave God something to remember. Now, before that, it was wonderful. But then, he did something he shouldn't have done and gave God something to remember. Adam, where art thou? I'm afraid. Who told you I'm naked? Who told you you were naked? You know, Adam never saw nakedness. They were clothed, both of them, with the clothing of light. The anointing of light was on them. Then when they were stripped, it wasn't just a physical body of nakedness as the world thinks. No, they were literally clothed and with an armor or with a garment of light. The anointing of God was completely around. And when you saw them, you thought it was God walking down a path in Eden. But when they were stripped of that anointing by sin, he said, who told you you were naked? I'm not just talking about a physical body of being naked. No. All of a sudden that anointing was gone. And Adam gave God something to remember that he should have never done. To such a point that God had to send a second Adam or a last Adam. So he could remember that instead of remembering what the first Adam did. Oh, I'm preaching better. Y'all shouting right now. Do you see that? So I love to give God things to remember me by. People say, boy, brother, you're such a giver. Yeah, why? God's recording. You know what God said? Boy, that Jesse, he'll give up. I didn't want to think about that Jesse. Boy, that boy's a worker, ain't it? Look at him. Son, he just keep going. I got to slow him down sometimes. I got to close his eyes. Mama used to say that you couldn't make me sleep. So she would hold me and rock me and put her fingers on my eyelids and hold my eyelids down. And she said, but if I could hold them down for 30 seconds, I was gone, man. She just could get them to hold it down. I never forget Holly told me this one time. Holly, Michael John, about their little boy Max when he was a baby. I said, I was watching Max. I was at their house. We were eating some lunch or something. And he never blinks. Well, he never did. He probably does now. But he just look at you. I say, Holly, that boy don't blink. She said, you know why? He don't want to miss nothing. I never forget Holly said, Max don't play. He said, what did I miss? He want to see what's going on. Well, I realized that God doesn't blink.
Right on.
He don't want to miss nothing. So I give to him. I put him in remembrance of who I am, not the bad stuff. Because he blots that out. So if God has anything bad to say about me, it's not his fault. I'm the one that put it in his mind. You see what I'm saying? So I decided I'd put good things in his mind, giving God something to remember. Then I put him in remembrance of his word. He says, command ye me concerning his word. People get mad at me when I do that. I'm just doing what he asked me to do. You can't command God. Yes, I can. Boy, I lost a few right there. That just blinked off the website, didn't it? Yes, I can. Why? Because he gave me that power to do so. But not snapping my fingers at God Almighty by no means. But he said, Jesse, command ye me concerning my word. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal that person from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Lord, it's up to them to receive it, but I command that healing power to flow on their lives. See? What is God saying about you? How's your novel being wrote? What does God say when somebody mentions your name in heaven? Oh, that boy needs some work. Gotta constantly get him out of jail. Gotta kindly do this. He's always messing up doing this. And then when somebody, other name come up, oh, that's a good person. Oh, so you love them more than you love me? No, you just gave them something different to remember. Oh, you're hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Yeah. Give God unity of life. Write that down. Unity of service and unity of worship to remember. Let me say it again. Give God unity of life, unity of service, and unity of worship for him to remember. Three things. What does unity of life means? Let me say it again. You're writing it down. Give God unity of life, unity of service, and unity of worship to remember. Because we're dealing with this, put me in remembrance. So I'm going to put him in remembrance of my service, of my life, and of my worship. What does unity of life mean? Unity of life is, write it down, love that inspires and a reverence of righteousness. Let me deal with that. When God remembers what you've done, does your love inspire him and inspires others to go to him? That's unity of life. You and God, one in Christ, the hope of glory. So you give him unity of life, which love that inspires. So in other words, people say, but then you seem to know God, so you make me want to know God. Why? Because that love inside of me inspires you to know God. That's unity of life. His life, my life, coming together. Amen. See, instead of saying, I tell you what, God don't ever do nothing for me. It's been tough, boy. See, that's why I don't like people preaching at you. I tell you one thing, God will beat you. God, I heard a preacher once say, God, it's one of the most terrible things I ever heard in my life about God. And they say a bunch of things. How did that person say that, Kathy? God will abuse you, then he'll use you. I heard that on worldwide television. God will abuse you, and then he'll use you. Yo, mama, God ain't gonna abuse you. An abuser goes to jail. That's not inspired love. That's not unity of life. Your problem is you're preaching your experience instead of preaching the word. And maybe if you'd preach the word, your experience would change. You never preach what you're going through because you don't have the end result. You preach what you've gone through, because when you preach what you've gone through, you know the end result. But if you're preaching what you're going through, you're just preaching emotion. Oh, you're hearing what I'm saying? Give God unity of life to remember, unity of service to remember, unity of worship to remember. What does unity of life mean? Unity of life is love that inspires and a reverence of righteousness. What do you mean by reverence? I revere the righteousness of God inside of me. So when people say, you're not much, I said, I am the righteousness of God. People say, who do you think you are? The righteousness of God. What did you say? The righteousness of God. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care. It don't make no difference. I reverence my righteousness because he made me righteous. Whether you believe I'm righteous or not has nothing to do with this. I reverence his righteousness or his right standing in me. That's unity of life. What God thinks about me only comes by what Jesse puts in his mind. Giving God remembrance. Giving him something to remember. Why? Because I want him remembering good things. Yeah, I've noticed this when someone passes away, goes home to be with the Lord. Most people remember the good things. You never go to a funeral and say, well, you piece of trash, it's about time you died. If you do, you'll not go to that funeral. I ain't heard too much of that. Or you ever notice how people confess over a dead body? Daddy, I didn't do you right there. Why did you tell him that when you was living, when he was living? Why are you saying that that he did? See, he actually went to the grave remembering all the trash you ever did to him. Y'all been to some of them funerals, haven't you? Oh, but I've been to some, and but I've stood there by the casket, in respect, and said, that was a good person. Man, that was a good person. Do you remember when he did this? Do you remember when he did that? My Lord. See, that was unity of life. What is unity of life? Love that inspires and a reverence of righteousness. So when people say, you're not this and you're not that, see, they don't reverence righteousness. He made me righteous. He created me and made me righteous. And then I give him unity of service. What does that mean? Unity of service is Christians have one Lord toward whom they cherish one faith. People, let me say it again. Unity of service is, and write this down, Christians, you have one Lord toward whom you cherish with one faith. You see what I'm saying? In other words, people say, why do you talk about Jesus so much? He's my Lord. One Lord. There's nothing better. Well, what about Muhammad? What about him? What about Buddha? What about him? The only one I know that could save me and blot out my sin is the one Lord, one faith called Jesus Christ. He tells me to love my enemies instead of use homicide bombings. He says for me to pray for my enemies and bless those that persecute me instead of car bomb them. And he said if they reject me, he says you love them and pray for them anyway instead of trying to kill them and make them something they don't want to be. Who would you serve? See, that's unity of service. Give God something to remember. Your unity of service. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How's that? I mean, I can go on with that forever. You know what I mean? That's big. One Lord. Baby, Jesus is Lord. I had some people visit me yesterday. Some wonderful people. Some Jehovah Witness. I just happened to be home. I went, hello. And I had on my pajamas and a t-shirt. I said, I apologize. My wife's not here. I came from, oh, we didn't want to come in. We just want to know, do you know what's going to happen where you go after you die? Oh, I said, she said, do you? I said, oh, yes, I know. You do? Oh, do I know? Let me tell you how much I know. Oh, and I started. I wound up witnessing to them instead of them witnessing to me. And you know, they were nice people. They were just listening. One of them says, I got to talk to you more. Oh, Lord. See, I had unity of service. You know, I said, you know, so many people ask me all the time, are you that minister? I'm telling them, yes, I am. What camp are you in? There's only one camp. But there's many different tents. Got a lot of different tents in that camp. Red tents, orange tents, blue tents. They're Baptist camps, Episcopalian tents. Not camps, tents. Presbyterian tents, Catholic tents. Lutheran tents. Assembly of God tents. Church of God tents. Church of Christ tents. Church of God and prophecy tents. Church of God and Christ and prophecy tents. Jehovah Witness tents. One camp. What? Don't shout me down. I lost a few right there. Oh, I'm waiting. Unity of service. Was I mad at those people? No. Was I going to try to convince them to believe my way? No. But if I let my unity of life, my love that inspires, they go, just maybe he may have something we ain't got. And I tell you what, I honor those people. I didn't see any of y'all out yesterday witnessing. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Everybody got something good about them. I tell you what, I thought I was preaching good. Finally, the head had to come get him. Listen, we got to go. I said, we went in here. Oh, thank you. I said, yeah. I wasn't offended. Why? Unity of service. I have one Lord, one faith. Oh, glory to God. My good Jewish friend, you've heard me say it. He says, why are you so much into Jesus? I said, I'm just trying to get you to believe in a Jew. Aren't you Jewish? Yes. You still can be Jewish. I'm trying to get you to believe in a Jew. What's wrong with that? Don't you like your own people? You see, religion's trying to change them. I ain't trying to change them. I'm letting them just see a person instead of a religion. Right. Brother, you ever lay your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll write a book about him. How you know that? John in Revelation. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now, brother, he ate with Jesus. He slept in the same place with Jesus. He walked roads with Jesus and donkeys. But buddy, you ain't never seen Jesus till you seen him in the spirit. Amen. On the Lord's day. High and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Ooh, that's unity of service. That's Christians having one Lord toward whom they cherish one faith. Then you go from unity of life and unity of service to unity of worship. What is unity of worship? Unity of worship is to perceive his excellence and to love him for it. I'm so glad. Watch, I'm going to make somebody mad. He is so excellent. Excellent spiritually. Excellent physically. Excellent financially. He didn't put gravel in heaven. He put gold streets. He didn't want a gate of iron, a gate of pearl. He wanted jasper, onyx, ruby, diamond, ooh, topaz. Oh, Lord. He loves beautiful things. That's excellence. See, that's unity of worship. I worship him in spirit and in truth. What does he remember about Daniel? A man with a what? Excellent spirit. He remembered the same thing about Caleb. Same thing. Because they put something in God's mind to remember. What have you put in God's mind to remember? Let me hurry up. I'm enjoying this. Unity of worship is to perceive his excellence and to love him for it. So when people say, my God, you don't feel guilty, but no, no. Why? Unity of worship. His excellence is so wonderful that he blotted out my sin, my iniquity, and my transgression. Boy, it takes an excellent person to do that. So when he blesses me in the financial way, I say, oh, with such excellence. See, he just doesn't meet my need. He meets my desire. And he meets my wants. Ooh, I have to watch what I say because I'll get it. Because the Lord is so excellent. He goes, let's just bless him. As for no apparent reason. Oh, there is a reason. He remembers good things about me. Can I say that's why he blesses me? Have y'all ever saw me sick? How long you been knowing me, David? Long time. I know Betty been knowing me since we did a little bit. I ain't had time. I can tell you really one real instance of sickness. That's a Vienna sausage story, which I ain't going to tell you no more. You already know about that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. And that was done through disobedience. You know, I asked the Lord to forgive me every time I said Vienna sausage. He go, what's that? He had no idea what it was. I can remember. You see, God has the ability to forget. Man has the ability to suppress. Got to write that down. God has the ability to forget. For his own sake, man has the ability. He thinks it's forgetfulness when it's suppression. He suppresses something. He said, I don't remember. All of a sudden, without the least of it, it comes flying up. But see, if you give God something to remember, you'll pick up how he remembers and you'll lose that suppression thing. And you'll do it for your own sake, just like he did it for his sake. I had a person the other day wanted to tell me something bad about an individual that I knew had repented. I said, oh, no, no, we cannot discuss that. I said, first, it is no evidence to the fact. I said, the Lord has washed it away. I said, now, the reason why you remembered it is you suppressed it and it came up. I have to teach you how to remember like God remembers. So give God unity of life, unity of service, and unity of worship. What does that mean? Unity of life is love that inspires and a reverence of his righteousness. Unity of service is as you are Christians have one Lord toward whom they cherish with one faith. Unity of worship is to perceive his excellence and to love him for it. Now, what does God remember more about? And what do you remember more about your children than anything else? Character. That's why you say, you know, I got two or three kids, but boy, they're all certainly different. What is different about them? Usually it's their character. What is character? Character is what you do when you're alone, not when you're in front of people. Right. Write this down. Nothing on earth is so beautiful as genuine Christian character. What is Christian character? Don't see color. Don't see how much money somebody got. Treat everybody the same. That's true, genuine character. Nothing is so, on earth is so beautiful as genuine Christian character. Now people say, yeah, but how do you understand that? Write this down. Don't try to explain God's dealings. Just obey his asking. I don't try to explain some of the stuff God does because he can think higher than I can think. I just accept what he does. Sometimes he's asked me to do some things that make a lick of sense to me. I'll give you a prime example. When I took the staff to Hawaii, I've done it twice. People get mad when I say that. Did he use God's money? No, I used my money. Watch this. Of all the people that I brought, over there, I was walking at the Hilton Hawaiian Village in Honolulu. As I was walking by on the beach, they have like a little sidewalk. If you have been there, it's a beautiful place. And all my staff was just having fun. Peter, y'all was with us, huh? Yeah, and all that. Ron, yeah. Right, they were with us. I saw one of my staff members laying out on the beach with her husband. And the Lord said, go over there and give her $100. Fine with me. I walked out there, boom, that sand was hot. And she said, oh, but that's how you do. I said, we're just walking by. And the Lord told me to give you $100. So, you know, man, I just got my money, found me $100. It's always good to have a C note on you. So you might see something so the note can take care of the seeing. I gave it $100. Oh, Brother Jesse. I said, go buy yourself a souvenir or something like that. I think it was $100. Was it more than $100?
No, it was $100.
It was $100. $100. Okay, good. Watch this. I never thought nothing about it. She was so excited. So she went and bought us something and blah, blah, blah. It was just really nice. When I got back to the ministry and everybody was so excited. Because see, my staff says, if Brother Jesse tells us something, he's going to do what he says. Because when I told him I would do that, the next day they was wearing Hawaiian leis to work. See, they were putting me in remembrance. Now, you thought I was off the sermon. Jesse ain't never off the sermon. I just ballpark. They put me in remembrance of my word. But I also do that to myself, too. That's character. You said that, Jesse. Now, you might have said something you shouldn't have said, but because you said it, you honor it. That's character. Well, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, here comes Eddie. He's the executive director of Jesse. He said, "It's Jesse, I need to talk to you." I said, "Yeah, what?" "Well, we got a report on something." "You got a report?" "Yeah, somebody's stealing from the ministry, stealing money out of the ministry." And the first thing I thought of, why would anybody steal from me? I wouldn't steal from you. Why would you steal from me? Oh, why would you steal from God? Somebody had sent some money in the mail, cash, and they shouldn't have done that because, you know, that's crazy. But they did. She stole. Somebody saw it. Bye-bye. Guess who it was? The person I had gave the money to. No one else had stole from me. But she did. It irritated the socks off of me. I was mad at her and God. You sent me down there. I gave $100 of my money, not your money. My money. And the girl stole from me and stole from you. Why didn't you tell me to go give money to Betty? Or give money to Pastor? Yeah, she said, yeah, Jesse, listen to God. Like Betty, bless. Why didn't you tell me to go give it to Ron and to Pia? I mean, you know, blessing. Why did you make me go out there and burn my feet on that hot sand to give to someone that stole from you? He said, I'll tell you why. I don't want to remember bad things about her. I was telling her, you ain't got to steal from me. I'll meet your need. I'll bless you, girl. And you don't even know how I'll do it, but I'll send somebody to bless you. But she wouldn't receive it. That's why God told me to go give my money to that thief. Are you mad about it? No. But my righteous indignation got vexed. He was telling her, you don't have to steal from me. I will take care of you. Not only will I give you a job that you can sow seeds so you can get 36 and 104, but I'll take care of you. But see, she refused to put something good in God's mind to remember. Well, naturally, we had to let her go. We didn't hire her to let her go. We don't hire anybody to fire them.
We don't say, you hired and you fired.
That's kind of dumb. We hire people to work. Do you see my point? So this point here makes sense to me. Don't try to explain God's dealings. Just obey his asking, which I did. Let me close with this. The people of strongest faith, write it down, are least given to presumption, but always puts forth well-directed effort. They're not presumptuous people. Let me say it again. The people of strongest faith are least given to presumption, but always put forth well-directed effort. See, you know, they're just not presuming this. Because see, the minute you make someone who you think can help you, your source, God, you tie the hands of God. And God says, they don't think I can do this. You put something in God's mind that should not be put there. One time the Lord told me to bless this particular couple, which, man, I wanted to. And I was about ready to do it. And I had about a week before I could get, I was coming back. And in that week, they blew it to pieces. The Lord said, you can't bless them. I said, but you told me to bless them. Yeah, he said, I know that. He said, but they put something in my mind that you were the source and not me. He says, and I can't. You are not their source. And I'm pretty sure they thought for sure that I was going to do it, but I didn't. One time I made a mistake over a $10,000 gift. Shouldn't have done it. I gave $10,000 to a ministry I should not have given. Because I wanted to.
All right.
Yeah, I just want, you know, I'm going to just do it. And the Lord said, have you ever thought in your mind that you're stopping my discipline? I said, what? He said, why'd you do that? He said, you were moved by an emotional financial pull. And you know what they said about the $10,000 gift? You don't think they was just in error? We thought he would give more.
Yes, indeed.
Exact words. He said, now, you just lost $10,000, Jesse. I said, Lord, erase. I plead with you. I put you in remembrance. You blotted out my this transgression. And within a second, he said, what? It was gone. I said, Lord, let me always give the way you give. Not by flesh, but by the love of the heart and the obedience of the word. I put something good in God's mind to remember me by. Isn't this good today?
Amen.
Put me in remembrance. So, I ask you today, and this week, and the year to come, to place into God's mind what you want him to remember. Because you don't like to remember anything bad about your kids, and he don't want to remember anything bad about his kids. And if you'll do that, every time God thinks of you or speaks about you, he'll say, let me tell you what my girl did. Let me tell you what my boy did. I'll say this in close. As a honor to Kenneth Copeland, I know his aunt. Now watch this. His aunt's way a lot older than Brother Copeland, naturally. I think she's the last living aunt he has there. Every once in a while, she'll come to the Believers' Convention. Now watch this. I come, she says, how you doing, Brother Jesse? I says, how you doing, ma'am? I said, you know, it's such an honor to preach for your nephew. She said, that's a good boy. That's what his aunt, we call it, black people call her aunt, white people call it aunt. An aunt is a bug. Aunt is right, not aunt, aunt. She said, I tell you, he was so good growing up. And I saw Brother Coleman go, she only remembers good things about him. She said, and my sister, which was Vanetta Copeland, who went home with the Lord, Brother Copeland's mother, would say, hey, I'm going to have to punish him. And she'd go, oh, no, he's such a good boy. And I thought, look at there. She's done what God's done. She only remembers good things about Kenneth or Brother Copeland. Well, that ministered to me. And you know, my grandmother, who went home to be with the Lord, who I never knew her name till she died. I never knew her name. I just call her Grandma. I never forget her name. Blew me away. Went to the funeral. Had to sign the book. Her name was Elvira. My grandma's name was Elvira. Elvira? I asked my mom, is that grandma's name? Yeah. You didn't know that? No. Because see, she was grandma. I said, why would they name her Elvira? One of my uncles said, because they wrote a song about it. Elvira. No, I said, that's a lie. But she was so wonderful. But when she saw me, you talk, you couldn't say nothing bad about me. Oh, no, no. Because I gave her good things to remember about me. You'd say something about me. Oh, that's my grand. That's a good boy. And sometimes my mom would say, he drinks. You exaggerate. Boy, chasing them women, man. Oh, no. That's a good. That's my grandson. And you know why? She wasn't lying. Because every time she saw me, I was good. Every time. I made sure. So she couldn't smell my breath. I'd take her out and buy her something. Oh, grandson, you're so kind to me. I just put things in her mind to remember about me. She didn't lie. But every time I knew she was coming, I'd say, Grandma. Sometimes I'll call her Momo. I said, you're the greatest. Can I do something for you? Oh, no, you don't need to do it. Oh, yeah. And she just kissed me on the cheek and just loved me. And as all my brothers and sisters, my cousins. And boy, they say, look, Grandma, I'm telling you, Jesse drank a favorite whiskey. No, he does not. I know that boy. He's never been drunk. I have been around him. I'm going. You see the relation? I put something in her mind to remember me. Well, she was believing a lie. No, she wasn't. She judged me by what she saw and what I put in her mind. God will judge you by what you do and what you put in his mind. Did you enjoy it today? Come on, give the Lord a great God bless you. Stand to your feet right now. Come on. Come on, give him a good hand clap. Oh, Lord Jesus. I want you to meditate and concentrate on that. I went a little long, but I just had to get it out. I'll tell you right now, in heaven, my grandmother and God are saying the same thing about me. That's a good boy. That's a good boy. Every time he's been around me, he has been honorable and just a good boy. See, the problem is my mama's up there. Let me tell y'all. No. Let's check the record. It doesn't exist.
starting to rain. You can tell when the refreshing comes. Take the person's hand next to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that we give you something to remember, that you're the love of our lives, that you sent your only begotten Son so that we would have a right to come boldly to your throne of grace. And Father, we think the greatest of you. You're the best ever. Lord, we will honor you and live for you with our unity of life, with our unity of service, with our unity of worship. God, we will do what we say because we know you do what you say. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, now, Lord, I ask you to get out the eraser. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead, that I am saved. I repent of my sin. And from this day forward, I will put good things in your mind to remember about me. Lord, I decree and declare it today that I'm a child of God. That greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer, for saving people, for healing people, for helping people. And for the rest of our lives, we will give you a good report. Now lift your hands up as an act of faith and receive that prayer. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a standing ovation today.